Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when this thought hits you. Okay, I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, the whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Let's talk about Target Circle. By the way, it's the same program that you know and you love and you use, but now with automatic deals. Here's the thing. The all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. It's already been awesome. Now it's awesomer, if that's a word. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit Target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at Target.com/circle card.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
It's time for the Bobby Bones Post Show. Here's your host, Bobby Bones.
Thank you very much, everybody, for being here. I hope you had a good weekend. A couple notes that I had made, Amy brought up, and I said, hey, we were going on the air, so I had to cut her off. But you were inquiring about this right here.
Yeah.
Somewhere around my neck.
The gold whistle. I said, is it real gold?
It is real gold.
Really? But why? You bought it?
Why would
you
it
bought
not be
a real gold?
Gold
whistle? Well, because real gold is very expensive. I can't.
Come on over, take a look-see. Look-see. What does that say on it right at the top?
Okay.
What does that say?
It's Bobby.
Thank you.
But then what's that?
Real gold? It says the name of it, yeah.
Because you bought a real gold whistle and you engraved your name on it?
Sort of. Okay. What do you think happened?
I'm thinking someone gave you that. Like a jeweler.
Interesting.
A jeweler friend?
That listens to 25 whistles. Because y'all have a whistle and you blow the whistle.
Yeah, we used to have this plastic one.
Right.
But we don't use that anymore. But you're close.
You ordered it, bought it, then they're like, oh, let's engrave it for fun.
You're closer.
Okay. Well, that's about all I got.
We finished our second season of 25 Whistles.
Mm.
So I bought everybody on the show.
Oh.
It took forever. A gold whistle.
And then their names are engraved on the whistles. Wow.
Pretty cool.
In a nice box and stuff.
I didn't think you were going to wear it, though. Like, that's a cool idea.
Not only that, these chain. So I didn't get like a normal chain. I got these lanyards because they're like
really long.
Yeah. Well, it's like a whistle lanyard, it's like a bronze lanyard. You don't want to get gold because it'll break. You're going to get a necklace, you get gold. But I also have you guys as bronze lanyards.
Oh, so just like that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm wearing it. I mean, yeah. So, like, when I met Bob Marley's son, Damien, they all travel, like, in a family, right? And they all have this ring that's the same, and it resembles the Bob Marley symbol, the Lion of Zion. And so, like, this is our symbol, dude. Wherever we go, we got the whistle. They know.
I wore End of the Game on Saturday, the Arkansas basketball game, and Caitlin's like, they're not going to let you wear a whistle into the game. And I was like, why not? It's gold.
Yeah,
they're
because
like,
you could blow a whistle and it'd be confusing.
Foul. But we wouldn't do that.
Well, I tucked it into my shirt, and then as soon as I sat down, I pulled it out.
Did you ever blow it?
Nah. Okay. But the ref, I've never had seats as good as I had this time. I've sat on the court before, but never like right close to the middle. And Caitlin's dad was there, and I had really good seats, but one of the coaches, I texted the head coach, Musk. I was like, hey, I'm coming to the game. If we win, I'm going to stop by after the game and say hi. If we lose, I'm not coming back because nobody wants to like hang out after a loss, myself included. And so one of the other coaches then hit me up and was like, hey, where are you sitting? And I said, like, second row. And he's like, I have a pair of courtside seats that haven't been used. Do you want them? I was like, heck yeah. So as soon as we got there, he met me with them and we sat on the front row. It was awesome. Best seats ever. But the refs almost run us over every time. And if you stick your foot out even an inch, I could see where definitely you trip referee.
So what's the rule? Like, can you have drinks down there?
Yes, you can. Even the standing up rule is weird because you can't stand up really if the ball is on your side, if they're in the middle of a play. There were times where I would go like, oh, stand up. Oh, gosh, just sit me down. If they like hit a three on our side, I would stand up because they were going the other way after.
I would be so nervous that I would spill my drink or something and it'd go all on the court.
That happens, I guess. It didn't happen this game. Mike said he saw my head. I didn't even think about that part of it. How was my head?
You look good.
Thank you.
On TV?
I guess.
Oh.
On TV?
Down the bottom.
I sent my, So I sent Mike the information where we were kind of sitting. And then I was on the bottom of the TV.
Can you get up at all, like to go to the bathroom during
the
game?
As long as they're not playing right by you. If they're on the other side of the court, you can then go. I don't know the rule. I just was watching people around me.
Yeah.
And so when they would go to the other side, I guess people whose normal tickets were there, they would get up and go.
So cool.
It was awesome. It was the closest. And it's so intense. Like, you're like, get a rebound. But these guys are, like, so physical, just getting a simple rebound. But, yeah, we did that. It was fun. And it was cool to take my father-in-law to that game because that was his first game. And it's like, yeah, no flex. They'll just get us here in the middle. That wasn't really what I did.
Yeah, super flex.
It was just lucky. Then we went back after into the locker room, like, right with the team, which, again, I just was going to say I had a must after the game. Wasn't going to go right then. But then we were in there for a little speech afterward, and the guy that we had too much access with, our sports show, our video show, he scored 42 points, a career high for him and highest in a long time for anybody.
How many total points were in the game?
80-something.
Oh, dang. A half.
Yeah, he's just killing it. So we went back and took a picture holding 42 up with our hands, which I thought was kind of funny.
That is cool.
Just because I was like,
that was your idea, 42?
Yeah.
Nice.
I was like, what up? He's like, what up, my guy? I was like, I'm your guy. That's cool.
Your accountant.
Then we went right over to the softball game. Had a good time there. Speaking of ball, you know, I do those, they call them breaks. I've done them far less. I got into it a little bit this weekend. But I go to the Dorm Dudes account. They don't give me any money. I don't know. These guys, never met them. That's just the account that I feel like is the one I trust the most. Because I got one with another account once. They didn't send me the jersey I won.
They didn't?
No. I won a black jersey, and they sent me a different, whatever. So I'm Dorm Dudes. Dorm Dudes breaks, I think, maybe. All the way. I spent a bunch of money with them. Got a bunch of jerseys back. I did one this weekend. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'll bring it up when it gets in. I got the biggest pull I've ever gotten. It's unbelievable.
A jersey?
I'm not saying anything.
Nothing. Helmet?
I'm not saying anything. What do you not understand about anything?
Cleats.
Get out of here.
Sweat?
It's the biggest pull. I won. I lost a few. I won a couple, but I lost.
Have you added up how much you've spent?
Yeah, you don't want to.
Okay, I don't.
But most of those are wins, though.
I wouldn't say most are.
What do you mean? More than losses?
I think I've been pretty lucky. But I don't come on and talk about how many times I lost.
Right.
Wait, did I hear a word come out of his mouth?
What?
I've been pretty lucky.
Yeah.
He never says he's
lucky.
Oh,
that's true. You're a lucky guy.
I had a couple good ones, but I had one that was like chef's kiss. But I'm now going to budget myself per week.
Yeah, you should. I just feel like...
What was the chef's kiss?
I feel like you're spending a
He's
lot
not
on
tell
this.
You.
Eddie,
you know, tell you,
let
man.
Him do it. I'm trying
and it's
to...
like, is the
oh,
stuff
you know
that you're
won,
winning,
though?
Is it? Does it really even matter?
No,
I think you
nothing.
Just like the thrill of the win.
That's absolutely it.
So
it doesn't
then
matter
you,
at all.
Then you end up with all the stuff you don't care about.
Do you know what I won? Not chef's kiss, but was almost chef's kiss? That I won, that I have. It's coming. I don't even care about cards. I don't know anything about cards. I used to collect baseball cards as a kid, but whatever. But I won a autographed Bo Jackson football rookie card.
What? That's got to be worth thousands.
I don't know about thousands.
Got to be.
But it's worth hundreds. And then I got a Tua rookie card, not signed, but worth like 150.
God.
Which is crazy. I know. But I've definitely spent. I don't want people to think I'm just like, I haven't sold anything. I have to stop, though.
You don't have to.
It's football. It's football, Mike, if you type in football, not baseball. And it's, football. Yeah. But yeah, it was awesome. What a great time we had. It is, yeah, none of those. Remember when that picture he did when he had the helm, the shoulder pads on and the bat behind his
head?
He's
iconic.
There was a Bo Jackson name. He played two sports.
Yeah, I know. I watched his 30 for 30.
So what was funny about it was maybe last week, Auburn was playing basketball and he was there at the game and somebody's trying to take a picture with him. And he wasn't mean, but he was like, hey, watch the game. No pictures. Yeah. Hilarious.
Because they ain't trying to ask him in the middle of the game.
Yeah, right in the middle of the game.
It's sort of like when I saw Ashley Judd at the Kentucky basketball game, and I went up to her at halftime and said, "Hey, can I get a picture?" And Tubby Smith was the head coach at the time, and his son was sitting next to her and goes, "No, she's trying to watch the game. She's trying to watch the game." And Ashley goes, "Yeah, I'm watching the game." I'm like, "It's halftime."
She was watching the halftime show.
So stupid.
But then if she takes a picture with you, then it might end up.
Okay, but it's halftime. I don't care.
Nah, we saw a cool halftime show one time. Was it the Pogo guys? The guys on Pogo sticks?
Yeah, they're flipping and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
So no, you want to
interrupt
that.
The best halftime show.
Mike, do you want to see it? I can show it to you. Yeah. It's a 1985 Heisman Hero, but I think it's a I can even just text you the picture. But I don't think
if it's a rookie, dude, that's thousands.
I don't think that's it, but it's also autographed. That's the one. Yeah.
Priceless.
I can send it to you.
Priceless.
I think it's like one of the five that they've made.
Yeah. That's so rare, dude. Man, you're sitting on a gold mine.
No, they made 25 total.
That's still rare.
Yeah. Unsigned, it's worth like 40 or 50 bucks, but this is signed. So I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I know nothing about any of this. It's just fun. I just need the hit.
To get your fix.
Yeah. I really only do it on the toilet, though, for the most part.
That's a good spot.
Because there's, like, nothing else to do. There's that. I have a couple other things I wanted to mention. Did you get the picture, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Boom. Game more pat. Yeah, who knows? If you find it, let me know. Here's my inner turmoil I'm facing right now. I've made, and I mentioned this on the show maybe last week, I have made a conscious decision and effort to go on no cable news shows, period, and I have for the last few years, because I used to go on Fox, I used to go on CNN, both. But what I'd find is, whichever one I would go on, I would just get yelled at by listeners. Because I was only going on, I would never go on for anything political, I would go on because they were doing some sort of segment on something I knew about, country music, or like I was putting a book out, and I've been on both of them, so I decided a long time ago, I'm not going on either one.
Equally. But these networks represent like a side or something? Or what?
Yeah, sure. So Fox News is way more conservative, CNN more liberal.
Okay.
For the most part.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm not doing any of them. I even had an offer to do a show on CNN, and I said, no, thank you.
Hmm.
And it wasn't a political show. But I was like, you know what? I don't need to do that. People are going to assume the network is divisive, so not gone on anything. I may have mentioned this on the show. I got invited to go on the Charles Barkley, Gail King show on CNN.
Talk about
on the air or off the air?
On the air.
Okay. To talk about country music. And I've not done any of the interviews. I've had many interview requests, TMZ networks talk about it. And I'm like, you know, I'll just do it on my show because I don't want to be somebody have the opportunity to edit me. And all of a sudden, that's why I don't do written interviews anymore, because you can't take it in context. And if I do a news and it's about race, they can edit me. And I don't want them to have the power to make me look stupid. But I did get invited by Charles Barkley and Gail King. And I was like, I can't go. I wasn't going to go. They invited me again like a week later. It's Charles Barkley.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's amazing.
I never met Charles Barkley. That's the only reason I'd want to go. And like, I'm considering it.
Yeah.
I don't even care about what network. I don't care if Charles Barkley, I don't care what network he'd be on. Like, I'm really considering flying up to New York just to do the show so I can meet Charles Barkley. Would that be divisive of me?
What does that mean, divisive?
Yeah, where is this?
Well, anger people.
No, not about Charles Barkley, but I would be on CNN. And I've chosen not to go on Fox News or CNN.
Guest.
Yeah, but even as a guest, I've chosen not to go on either one of them.
I know, but you can make exceptions to your rules.
I just want
to
meet Charles Barkley.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So,
you got to do it.
Go.
But I would be going against a standard that I set years ago.
But just because you say something at one point doesn't mean you can't pivot a little.
True, but I'm not pivoting for any sort of personal fundamental. I'm pivoting just because I just want to meet Charles Barkley.
Right.
I mean, that's the only reason. So I have to let him know in the next couple hours. But if I do, I just want everybody to know I'm only doing it to meet Charles Barkley. I get there and he's off.
And when would we be going?
We would not be.
Oh.
It would be a very quick trip for me to fly up to New York, do the interview, and probably fly back or spend one night.
So it would for sure be in person? They wouldn't be like, hey, we'll just bring you up via like satellite?
They asked if I wanted to do Zoom last week, and I did not. Because to me, I don't get to meet Charles Barkley, so why would I break my
right
streak of not? It's only about meeting Charles Barkley.
You have to pay for your flight up there?
No.
Oh, they would?
Oh, yeah.
They, what?
They fly. Yeah.
How long is your segment?
4 minutes, probably.
Oof. Wow.
It's expensive.
They would fly me up, put me in a hotel.
Wow. If I were them, I'd just be like,
all
right, we're
zooming.
4 minutes? We're zooming.
I think so. I mean, I can call Morgan real quick.
Wow.
Not this Morgan. The other Morgan. Manager Morgan. Both equally important, though. Just different roles. Right, Morgan?
Yes.
Thank you. Let's see if she'll answer here. Okay, call. And maybe they weren't. Maybe I'm wrong. They're not paying for it. But I think they are. They usually do.
Hello.
Hey, we're recording right now for the post show, so just know that.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, so I was
I'm in the building.
Oh, well, can you come in here and sit in the chair?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm coming.
All right, bye. Well, there you go.
Okay.
We check that mic?
Yeah, you want to walk over there and check it?
Sure.
Check.
Anything, Amy, you want to say?
Check, one, two, check. I'm trying to think of any cons of
mic
you
check,
doing
check.
That.
Good.
Like,
I don't.
Well, the cons are everybody screaming.
Who cares?
We'll talk to Morgan about it.
I wouldn't have even known you placed that rule on yourself. So
yeah,
like,
I didn't make it a deal.
Right. So nobody knows that it's a rule. And then also, it's Charles Barkley. Like,
yeah.
I would just know you were on there. Like, I wouldn't associate you with anybody's, you know, beliefs on CNN or what the agenda they push.
Morgan?
Yes.
Okay, so we were talking about...
Fill me in. What are we talking about?
Well, we were talking about the Charles Barkley, Gayle King show where they invited me to go up and talk about country music and what had happened with Beyonce, but more of the history of country music. So, and I said, I purposefully, and you know this, I've done no cable news, CNN or Fox News.
Not for lack of people reaching out.
Right. Just, but purposefully I've not done it because it just seemed too divisive. If I go on either one, people yell at me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really worth it. So I said, if I did this show with Charles Barkley and Gayle King, if I was able to get up there, it would only be for one reason, to meet Charles Barkley. That's it.
That's fair.
I'd go to meet Gayle King.
And
too.
I would, I've met Gayle King, I think.
Oh. Well.
I did the Today Show. I did the Good Morning. Whatever.
I don't know.
I met her. I get those shows confused. But CBS, I think CBS, that's the one she was on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if I went, I would do what they asked. I'd do a good job at it, but I would only be going to meet Charles Barkley. And I would be breaking my rule. But they said, do they pay for it? And that's why I was asking you. Do they pay for me to go up there?
They would help cover your travel expenses.
Yeah, they don't pay me, but will they pay for the flight?
Yes, they would cover your travel up there, but...
What about travel back?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Hotel?
Round trip.
Hotel?
Yeah, flight and hotel.
That's what I
thought. What about for drip?
No, there's no drip. They don't pay you for drip.
Drip.
And then they asked how long this segment would be, and I said probably... What would you guess?
I mean, we haven't gotten into the weeds of those details yet, but I would think probably... Minutes.
Oh, wow. I would think four. That's what I said.
Okay.
But
well,
maybe.
They've been pretty interested in having you on. They've come back just this morning saying that they're still interested in getting you on. I don't know how much
are you getting messages
from
somebody? Do you have something you have to do?
Well, we've got a podcast here in a second. But
you need to go out?
I'm good right now.
Okay. Morgan, we're doing an interview tomorrow after the show. NASCAR driver. What's his name?
William Byron.
Hey, did you see the race this weekend? How
it
that finished?
It was so good. That's one of the best Atlanta Super Speedway. It was one of the best races I've seen in a long time. There were so many lead changes. Don't get me started.
It was really three good. There was like three cars at the finish line. They had to go finish.
You couldn't tell who won it. I thought Ryan Blaney won it, who we interviewed. Sorry, we're getting a little derailed.
Please do. Go for it.
I thought Ryan Blaney won it, and that's who we interviewed a few months ago here, and it ended up not being him. It was Daniel Suarez.
It was crazy,
Wait,
dude.
Daniel Suarez won?
Yeah.
Who are we having on the show?
No, we haven't had him on the show.
No, who are we having?
William Byron.
Did he win?
He did not.
Did not win.
He did not. But he is really good. Sometimes y'all interview drivers and I'm
said,
like, well, they're not that great. But William Byron's really good.
I thought it said champion.
He won the Daytona 500.
Oh,
just
say Daytona
before.
Five. Oh, that's what it is. Mm-hmm.
That wasn't this weekend.
The big one.
Under caution, which, you know.
Oh, that was a weird ending.
Sometimes it happens that way.
They didn't even finish the race. Well, first they had to move it to Monday because of the weather, which was weird. Who watches on Monday? But it was President's Day. And then the very end, like, they wrecked in the last lap. And then it was like, all right, whoever was.
Sometimes when they wreck really close to the end where there's like a lap or two left, they'll do that white flag caution. And then that's your winner.
Whoever was
leading
wins.
Anyone's in the lead, you can't like overtake them.
What if someone's about to make their move?
Exactly.
No, literally they thought that teammates Alex Bowman and William Byron, they thought Alex actually won it. based on when the caution was thrown. There was a little drama back and forth, but William Byron was the winner.
And that's who we're talking to.
That's who we're talking to. He's really good. He actually got to start sim racing. So like video games.
Still hope.
That's cool.
So
there's still hope.
He's going to be on. We're going to record it tomorrow, but Morgan's going to do three intelligent questions in our interview. That's what we're going to call it. Three intelligent questions with Morgan, because she's going to be up here anyway. Okay, I was just asking about the Charles Barkley stuff. I need to let him know in the next couple hours if I even can do it, right?
Yeah, you have to let me know if you're wanting to, and we'll go from there.
Okay. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
What podcast are you doing up here?
Caroline Hobby is interviewing Kaylee Dickerson today.
Oh, cool.
For Get Real.
All right. Check at the podcast. Get Real with Caroline Hobby. All right, Morgan, thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Mid-roll. Yeah, thank you, Ray. Let's do a little mid-roll here. I'm working on it hard. Like, I'm investing a lot of time in trying to get quality sleep. Quality sleep is essential. I love my Sleep Number smart bed because I don't have to worry about that part. Because my Sleep Number smart bed is designed for, well, now my ever-evolving sleep needs as I'm trying to figure out what's happening with me physically. Like, I'm on a CPAP now. You can choose what's right for you and your partner. Because I'm talking about temperature, I'm talking about firmness, I'm talking about softness. Whatever it is, it's there for you. You can have different, and that saves a fight. There you go. You're welcome. So my Sleep Number setting is 30. My Sleep IQ score last night was 87. I mean, it's great for partners. Because again, you always like, bed's too hot, room's too cold, whatever that is. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards, only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Let me tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. I can tell you because I've seen the preview of the Santa Fe. It's awesome. I cannot wait to see it in real life and drive it for myself. The Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from whatever you feel like is dull in your work week. And then maybe you got an adventure plan for the weekend. So listen to this. H-Track all-wheel drive, which means you can, if you want to get on a dirt trail, go. The steeper, the better. Get to where no one else is going. Get ready to splash through puddles, kick up some mud, make some tracks, because you're going to have a blast. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe features best-in-class rear cargo space. So whether it's groceries or dogs' water bowls, treats and toys, again, maybe you're out and about, camping gear, extra bags, whatever you need to make it a real adventure, you got plenty of room. And then available dual wireless charging pads. This is probably the feature that I'm most excited about and the thing that I'll use the most. It's great because the last thing you want to do is be anywhere with a dead phone. Especially, again, if you're going camping or if you're just driving down the road. You know, the worst nightmare for me is my phone going dead. Or just a low battery when it gets red. Oof, always got to have it charged. And with the available dual wireless charging pads, you'll be able to head as far out or stay in as much as you want. Got the charging pads and you can navigate your way back to civilization. You got to check out the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Just go look at it. Just looking at it's awesome. HyundaiUSA.com. Class comparison of cargo volume behind front seats with all rear seats folded down based on primary compact SUV competitors as defined by Hyundai Motor America. Competitors within this class are Chevrolet Blazer, Ford Edge, Honda Passport, Jeep Cherokee, Nissan Murano, Subaru Outback, Toyota Venza, and Volkswagen Atlas Cross Sport. Claim based on comparison of specifications on manufacturer websites. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for four lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with four lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. I bet. Can I have the news, Mike? Because there were a couple stories that I wanted to do today, and that guy who made the $2.3 million, anybody see this off his wife's work calls? It's like insider trading, but he was just snooping on his wife and her work calls because she was involved, and
So she didn't know.
Oh, man, come on. She was probably like, hey, sit in the room and listen. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
I don't know, because if she doesn't have a history of that at all, and she could have done it over many, many years and didn't. A man in Texas has been charged with insider trading after he made about $2 million listening to his wife's remote phone calls as she worked from home. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, which is the SEC, accused Tyler Loudon of taking advantage of his wife's work from home setup. to obtain non-public information and garner illegal profits. The agency said that his wife, who's not been named, was a merger and acquisitions manager for an oil and gas company. She had been working to finalize the company's plans to acquire Travel Centers of America, Inc., an Ohio-based full-service truck stop. Before BP made a public announcement, Lowe purchased 46,000 shares of the stock.
Obvious.
Without his wife's knowledge, they say. Wow.
Yeah, that's tricky, man. So, like, if your wife works somewhere...
By the way, she moved out and filed for divorce.
She did?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's yeah, she didn't know.
According to The Guardian, he eventually confessed to his wife about buying and selling the stock. He reportedly said he made the illegal move so she would not have to work long hours at her job. Oh, that's sweet, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
She reported her husband's activity to BP because she didn't want to go to jail for knowing about it. And then she was fired. The company found no wrongdoing on her end at all. And then she moved out and filed for divorce. That's from globalnews.ca.
So my friend that is a lawyer, she reported herself to like the board.
For what?
But she didn't do anything wrong, but she found out she was in the process of divorcing anyways, but they were still in the same home and he went into some of her stuff because she was doing she was working on a case from home, but a lot of it was Zoom because it was COVID. And so he logged in and found out this info. And I don't know. I don't want to give too many details because it's crazy though. She had no idea. And what he did was totally illegal, similar to that. And so because she could have been in trouble for it if she got caught. So she went ahead and reported herself.
So I wonder if they weren't getting divorced, would she have reported herself or covered?
Yeah, I think she would have because you take an oath. So she wanted to just be.
Mm. Well, doctors take a Hippocratic oath and sometimes they're doing pill mills.
They're doing what?
Pill mills.
Oh, true.
Listen, good for your friend. You have a lawyer friend? That's cool. Do I have a lawyer friend?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Do I have a single friend that's a lawyer? Oh, yeah. I mean, he's not anymore, but.
I have two.
Matt Jones, who does Kentucky Sports Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Although we don't talk that much anymore. I felt like he kind of burned me a little bit, but he doesn't think he burned me a little bit. And he's probably right, but I got a little upset with him. Okay. But I still message him, and we still check in. But he was a lawyer. He's really smart.
Lunchbox has a lawyer friend.
Yep.
A jag.
He was a jag.
My roommate from college, yeah. He held his own law firm.
It's crazy that you have friends that are lawyers. I mean, we're adults.
My father-in-law's a lawyer.
Really?
Yeah. Ultimate friend.
My sister-in-law's a lawyer.
My friend's a lawyer at Nissan. And it's cool because she does all these calls over, she travels all over the world all the time and is on these calls. She works really late at night because the time change is very different. I don't know if it's
Japan.
I think it's Japan, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why when I say I got a lawyer, guys, I got a lawyer. And I'm not joking.
Well, it's just your friend.
No, John Hodges is my lawyer.
I think if you have a lawyer, you can say whatever you want. But I think most people, when they say, I have a lawyer, it's because they're paying them a retainer and they're already on as their lawyer.
Yeah, I paid for his law school.
That's not what that is, but I don't know if you paid for his law school either. I can't verify
that. I did, because he was in JAG, so we paid taxpayers.
We all did.
I did too then. Okay. Here we go.
Yeah, he when he decided to go to law school, he hit me up and said, hey, I just want to say thank you. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, you're going to pay for me to go to law school.
Awesome. We all
and
did.
And I was like, thanks, dude.
Hey, back to the story. I have a question. Mm-hmm. So, say producer Eddie's smoking hot chicken, right? I have it going on, whatever, and then Whole Foods wants to buy it.
Yeah.
Right? And my stock's about to blow up.
You don't have stock. You're not, you haven't.
This is all hypothetical.
Just hypothetical, man. I got stocks.
Okay, go ahead.
Hypothetical.
So you've already offered shares to people.
Yeah.
You haven't gone public, but people have invested to own part of it.
Totally. And I go to the bar because I'm so excited.
But if
Lunchbox,
you're not public, it doesn't matter. You have to have put it public so people can buy the stock.
Okay, it's public.
Okay, great.
Okay. I don't know the details. It's public. So Lunchbox, we go to the bar, and I'm like, dude, we're great. And the bartender's like, what are you guys celebrating? Oh, dude, my chicken business just got bought by Whole Foods. It's going to be crazy. And then he goes and buys stocks. Is he in trouble? I don't understand how you have to keep that a secret.
I think that would be considered insider.
The bartender? But then...
Because he just got insider information.
Right, that's what I'm saying. You can't tell anyone that you're merging with someone.
Correct.
That's crazy. And who?
But you know what sucks is there are a lot of politicians who know stuff because of the meetings they're in when they're like, we're about to allow this, not allow this. So they sell or buy stocks beforehand.
Yeah.
It's so dirty.
Wait, the politicians don't get busted for that?
No, because they got each other's back.
They're politicians.
Oh my goodness. This is bad.
Well,
look at Martha Stewart. Okay. She went to prison, man.
Yeah.
And she was already super rich.
Mm-hmm. Got us.
Thanks, man. Okay.
Don't quote me, but isn't. At some point, isn't Nancy Pelosi in some trouble for this?
Oh, yeah, she's
husband?
One of them they look at.
Yeah.
Not in trouble, but she's the one that's like, how is she making so much money? There's a lot of them. Yeah. So,
okay.
But I don't know. It looks fishy with a lot of them.
Mm.
So I don't know to specify who does what, but I have read stories and that does not look good. There's a few of them, both from both sides.
I feel like the bartender would be fine. It's not like he was looking for that information. He just heard it. And,
sure.
And so Eddie's not, I guess, in trouble.
I don't know.
Maybe it's just family and friends
but then,
that can.
But then you could just be like, if you know the bartender, be like, hey, I'm just going to yell some stuff. You can hear it.
Right.
And go by. So I would think that that's still considered insider trading if it's not known.
Wow.
His punishment may not be as... This is all me just...
He's probably
assuming.
Not going to ever get caught, though, because why would he ever get connected back to Eddie?
Well, the thing would be if he bought 56,000 shares like this dude.
That's when it's obvious.
Like, yeah. It's like if he bought 20 or 30 shares, he'd never be caught.
Okay.
But when you scream, I'm buying it all, insider trading is buying or selling a publicly traded company stock by someone with non-public material information about the company. And that's what that would be.
Wow.
Yeah. But again, I know I'm a doctor. I'm not a lawyer.
Right, right.
And even when I'm a doctor, it's fake.
Doctor of letters.
Yeah. So any of the 26 letters I can help you with. What's up, Mike? The CEO of a publicly traded firm inadvertently discloses their company's quarterly earnings while getting a haircut. If the hairdresser takes this information and trades on it, it is illegal insider trading, and the SEC could take
action.
That's
crazy.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but I needed a haircut.
Wow. Yeah, I should have gone haircut, not bar, but yeah.
No, all same thing.
Same deal.
Oh, woman's horror as she spends 3 days trapped in a pitch darkness room behind a basement wall after falling between a narrow gap between the houses.
Oh, people pay thousands of dollars to do that, so why is she mad?
Well, I think because she couldn't get out. I think when you normally do it, you can get out. But a young woman's horror has been revealed after she spent 3 days.
Oh. You said horror.
Yeah, I don't understand. Oh, she's what?
Horror, like a horror film, but it sounded like horror.
A young woman's horror.
My mind went somewhere else. That is what I
a young like, woman's horror.
Okay. And then Lunchbox made it worse by saying, like, some people pay a lot of money for that. I'm like, well,
I do. Like, Aaron Rodgers
has been revealed after she spent 3 days trapped in pitch darkness. The unnamed 22 fell between the walls of two buildings, but the floor from which she dropped was clear. So she was screaming for help in a dark, damp space, discovered by authorities as a dungeon. The team took to the wall with a drill and sledgehammer. She told rescuers she had been calling for help for 3 days before someone finally heard her.
Wow.
She's lucky she didn't, like, break her legs or something.
I know.
She was so close to, if she didn't have water, dying. You can only live 3 to 5 days without water.
You can drink your own pee.
Can you?
Yeah, that's what they say.
Okay.
Have you ever want to watch survival shows?
Well, what does she do? What if she doesn't have a cup?
Your hands can form a cup. You ever done that in the sink?
But you're going to lose some every time.
Pee in your hand.
That's a good point, Amy.
Like,
I was just thinking about me, not a girl. Dang. That's got to be tough.
I can
pee in my mouth.
I can figure it out, but.
Privately built.
You can pee in your mouth?
Sure I can.
I bet you could. I think I could if my legs were up higher.
Hold on. Eddie said he'd do it right now.
Okay,
I can do it.
No. I think I could if my legs were up higher. And so my wiener was down. Pointing downward. I think I could.
Right. Well, it's the same thing with a girl then. You can just get your...
No, because the stream doesn't go the same way. You can't point it.
Yeah, we can't do that, Eddie. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Do you know again, a woman's anatomy?
No. Well, I do a little bit.
Okay. A privately built moonlander makes history with a successful touchdown. The first time in over 50 years America has landed on the moon, but no people, by the way.
Just a lunar walker.
Wonder why.
But what do the pictures look like?
The Odysseus robotic lander. Here, can you play the audio, Ray? Do you have it?
In more than a half century, the U.S. has returned to the moon. Today, for the first time in the history of humanity, a commercial company, an American company, launched and led the voyage up there. What a triumph! Odysseus has taken the moon. This feat is a giant leap forward for all of humanity.
Was he trying to be Walter Cronkite there again?
I think he probably was doing a little news voice, okay. But he was good at it.
No, man, I mean the giant leap kind of same deal as the first one.
Yeah, there were no people. It's the first time since 1972 I'm sure that piece of machine's up there.
Yeah, but see.
Why they put a human in there? You know why? Because the radiation eats them up.
Listen, if they take pictures up there and it looks just like the ones that we got from 1969 or whatever, like then it wasn't fake.
But the ones from that 69.
Mm-hmm.
They're like second and third dairy, meaning we never saw the original footage. Even what they showed on TV was like taken and put on a screen, and they shot the screen to shoot into the TVs. So I don't know. But they could have had taken a telescope and looked at the moon to create what it looked like.
I don't know.
I think they're just keeping something from us. I am not. If you said bet money, do you think people got to the moon? Okay, yes.
Yes.
But I definitely think there's something to it they're not telling us. Meaning, do they find something? That's why we never sent people back. We're not sending people back. Because we did something for the last time in 72, and all of a sudden we can't do it now?
Well, think about it, though. 11 was the successful mission. That was the one small step for man, right? And then Apollo 13 was that we almost lost these guys. So why do this again?
Because they've done it before, and oftentimes when you try something and you're successful, if it's a breakthrough, you try it again, it doesn't work, and you figure out ways to even just get faster or better or more efficient at it, so then you can be able to launch off and get somewhere else.
Yeah, but we almost lost Tom Hanks and all that, dude.
He really wasn't an astronaut.
Not him, yeah. But Lovell or whatever.
I watched a story about the, you know, the Challenger that exploded.
Mm. Yeah.
I watched the story about these two guys that worked for the company that NASA hired to, it was a private company to like build the ship and be the engineers.
The shuttle.
And, yeah. And so it was like 1986. And remember, it was up and there was a teacher on it.
Krista McCullough.
Who was a teacher, you know, she trained as an, but she was a teacher. And then the other, everybody died, it exploded. But the two guys the day before were like, hey, you can't send this up. There's an issue with the O-rings. And now everybody knows the O-ring, but they called and said to whomever, you can't send this up. It is going to explode because in our research, we saw, this is what we tested. And yes, that's correct, but the temperature, It's a long one, I watched the whole thing. And the guys with his kid, and he's like, we called, we told them, they were like, nope. It's got to go up. He said it got political. There was a bunch of money spent. And him and his kid watched it blow up after he told his kid, it's going to blow up. We've called. We've done everything. So it goes, it flies up, explodes. Everybody dies. And like there were two people who were basically anonymous sources to, I think it was the Wall Street Journal. Could have been NPR. It was three letters, either WSJ or NPR. And there were two people that were the anonymous sources that said, hey, this is what happened. They go with the story. You find out. And finally, you realize after the statute of limitations or whatever, I don't even know what it was. It was him. He was the guy that called, were the two people that tried to tell them, don't send the shuttle up. And later on, the head of NASA in probably like 2000 came out with a statement going, it is not his fault. It is not the engine. They told us. They told NASA then not to send it up. And his kid was like, it was such a relief because he always felt like he was the one to blame for that blowing up, even though, and it showed him like 78 years old. He had died right after that. But he died in 2016. Challenger engineer who warned of shuttle disaster dies. But his kid was talking about how it was such a relief on him that somebody had come out and said it wasn't his fault because he had the guilt of the explosion.
You probably saw him at his lowest, like always after that.
Sucked. He was one of the five booster rocket engineers at NASA. The contractor was Morton, and a contractor named Morton Thiokol tried to stop the 86 Challenger launch. They were worried the cold temperatures overnight, the forecast said 80 degrees, would stiffen the rubber O-rings that prevent burning rocket fuel from leaking out of the joints. We all knew if the seals failed, the shuttle would blow up, and then they knew the seals failed, and they wouldn't keep the shuttle from flying up because, according to them, it got too political. And they were like, no, you don't understand. Everybody's going to die. And they're like, we spent too much money on this. We can't not do it, and we believe in our tests. And like, but you didn't test it in this. Wild.
I feel like... Yeah, I just looked up on Netflix the Challenger, the final flight. It was a 4-part documentary that I guess I remember watching in 2020.
Was it about that? They have that in there?
The O-ring.
Because I watched the documentary on TikTok. It's about 4 minutes long, and I felt
that's what you're talking about.
Not the same documentary, but I watched it. It's crazy. A woman is reporting marrying an AI hologram boyfriend, which was trained on the profile information of her exes. Yeah, sneeze.
Bless you.
Thank you. AI. I feel like that's probably AI companies making people say create news. More than that, who knows? Yeah. A Florida man has 150 live bugs removed from his nose. Hmm. He didn't even know they were there.
How many?
150.
Ugh, that's terrible.
Jacksonville doctors removed 150 live bugs in the larva stage from the nose and sinuses of a cancer survivor earlier this month.
Ugh.
The unidentified man has been feeling off since October, but it wasn't until his face and lips swelled. They went in with a camera and discovered dozens of bugs feeding on the inside of his nose and sinus cavity. I can't look at the picture.
Oh.
And shedding tissue and excrement, which spurned the man's inflammation.
What did they say? Where the bugs came from?
Yeah, he was pushing them up there. No, I don't know. I'm just making that up.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't say like he was in the jungle or something.
Did you see they're having the Florida Man games?
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Did you see they're having the steroid Olympics?
That's awesome.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where you can just take as many steroids you want.
Take whatever you want, anything. Yeah.
That javelin's going to fly, man.
Take whatever you want.
Wow.
An Oklahoma man hacked a government auction site to buy cars for $1. The problem is, much like the guy that was buying the stocks, you can't go $1 or you can't do 60,000 shares because that's going to tip people off something's fishy.
That's too much.
Like you can hack and create yourself a deal, but it's going to throw up red flags whenever you buy 70,000 stocks right before.
And when you go to pick up 10 cars for $10,
yeah. When you're like, no, I got this in the BOGO sale. They're like, wait, what? Of course. An Oklahoma man's Evan James Cooker pleaded guilty to wire fraud between February 25th and March 6th. He bid in multiple auctions for seized assets, vehicles, jewelry. After he placed the bids and they were accepted, he hacked into the pay.gov website, changed the price of each of the 19 items to $1. He got a 2010 Ford Escape Hybrid, a Ford F-550 pickup truck, and a Chevrolet C4500 box truck. CBS News. You know, he thought he was getting away. He was telling too many buddies. Because if you're wanting trucks like that, you got buddies, you tell stuff like that too. Jim, you're never going to believe this. F-450? Got it for a dollar? No way! You just can't do a dollar. Because that's going to be what's... One person just has to go, a dollar? That's weird. Let me run this up. And they run it up, and they're like, no, that's weird. And the next thing you know, dude's getting arrested. And they find all of his other ones too. But it would be cool to learn how to hack.
Yeah.
For good reasons.
No, just in general.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm sure. I would be a white hat hacker for
sure.
Unless I needed some information.
White hat hacker is like a good hacker?
Yes. Somebody who does it for good.
Mm-hmm. What's the bad one?
Black hat.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I believe, unless they're just called white hats for good. But I think...
White collar, maybe. Why white? Why is everything white?
Blue collar, though, is the other one.
I know.
White clean. I think that's clean because if it gets any dirt on it, you see it more.
That makes sense.
You don't do a job with dirt.
Okay.
Blue collar, though. The collar. I didn't wear collars when I was.
Maybe because like collar. When they would wear blue shirts. Okay. And they work a shift.
There's black. There's white hat considered the good guys because they follow the rules when it comes to hacking into systems without permission and obeying responsible disclosing laws. Gray hat may have good intentions but might not disclose flaws for immediate fixes. I'd for sure be gray hat. Because I'd find a couple.
Right in the middle.
I'd find a couple little things for myself. You know what I'm saying? Black hat considered cyber criminals. They don't lose sleep over whether or not something is illegal or wrong. They exploit security flaws for personal or political gain or for fun. Yeah, I'd be gray. I'd be getting some of these jerseys pretty cheap. You know what I'm saying? Eddie looked up and fact checked our Tuesday song.
I did. Because we were singing the Tuesday song and you say, came out of my mom on a Tuesday. So I was like, oh, really? Was Bobby like born on a Tuesday? I went back and looked into your birthday, the day you were actually born, and you weren't born on a Tuesday, dude.
It's a literal lyric.
It's a song.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
What day was he born?
On a Wednesday.
Oh.
It doesn't work, though.
On a Wednesday.
Came out of my mom
on a Wednesday.
It's all Tuesday. What were you born on?
On a Wednesday.
What was Amy born on?
On a Wednesday.
Really?
Isn't that crazy? Us three were born on a Wednesday.
What was Lunchbox born on?
Oh, I don't know his birthday. I don't know. I didn't look it up.
Mike, can you throw lunches in there and see what day he was born?
Dude,
June
it's a
25th, 1981.
Was it?
Saturday.
That's his. Lunchbox is June 25th, 1981.
Oh, okay.
What is it?
Lunchbox, Mike, you did July.
He's July. I'm July.
Whatever, JJ.
See, I didn't even act like I knew his birthday.
No, I would have figured
Saturday.
That out.
What about
I know,
Morgan?
I know it's July.
If Morgan's born on a Wednesday and all of us except Lunchbox are, that'd be
fine. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Morgan, what's your birthday?
October 6th, 1993.
Saturday. Nope, October 9th. He typed the 9th. Hold on.
When was it 6th?
Yeah.
6th.
Come Wednesday.
On. Wow! That's crazy, man.
You think the hospitals are like, let's go ahead and get this going on a Wednesday. So they can like...
No, because like, well, I don't know. I mean, isn't it random when you're ready to have a baby? Like, all right, my water broke.
I guess unless you induce.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Did they have that back then?
Back then? You think we were pilgrims?
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. The song is wrong then.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. I mean, you know, like I'm sure.
July 25th.
I'm sure. Who's the guy that lives down the dirt road? With a bottle
Creole
of wine. Creole. Is he Creole real dude? I don't know.
Yeah.
Creole Williams.
I think he is.
Creole Williams a real dude?
Creole Williams lived down a dirt road.
Right. And did he really say there might be a little dust in the bottle? Who knows?
So you're saying anything that's ever said.
Right.
Sometimes, yeah.
So don't, what I'm saying is don't feel bad that you lied on your
song. I didn't even look mine up. I sent Eddie a rough cut of the comedy special yesterday, which I haven't really done to anybody because we got to the point now where I think we pretty much got our edit.
How long is it?
It's an hour.
An hour. It's comedically inspirational, so it's not just comedy, but it's the show.
How do you feel about it?
Terrible.
Oh, you do? You feel terrible about
only
it?
Only because I've sat through it. I mean, I did it. I performed it so many times. I've watched edit. I moved stuff. You're just in it, and so now you quite. It's like anything I ever do creatively. Halfway through, I'm like, this sucks. So, I just can't. I mean, I can't take it anymore. As far as me judging if it's good or not, I can judge if the edit's good or not. But I sent it to Eddie.
How much control are you taking over the edits?
Well, all a lot.
All a lot.
I mean, but my producer, director Blythe, is really her. But she sends, and I'll make notes and stuff, and then she changes some stuff. Or she goes, I believe in this, and I'm like, cool, go with it. Like, she is running it. But if there's something I don't like or something, why don't we suggest this? It's very collaborative. But she, you know, it was her vision on how to shoot it and where to shoot it and how to jump between. So. And it's also a lot to ask somebody, hey, watch this hour-long thing. I did not expect you to watch it.
Me?
Yeah. I sent Eddie TikToks, and he didn't see
it
for a week.
Well, and it took me a few days to watch it because I broke it down. Like, I'd watch 25 minutes.
Wasn't that boring?
No. I just had to because stuff was going on. I had a lot of basketball games on Saturday, so I had to wait till the very end. And then I started watching, and my wife's like, hey, you want to watch a movie tonight? And I'm like, okay, so let me pause this. Watch the movie, and then Sunday – we had church, birthday party, and after the birthday party, on the way home, my wife drove. I watched a little more. So it's just kind of like that. I had to kind of break it up. But, dude, I loved it. I thought it was really, really good. And
He would have just said, hey, it was good, even if he didn't mean it. But he said really, really good. That's what I told Blythe. I was like, he wouldn't have added the second really if he didn't think it was actually
correct.
Good.
Because I'll tell you, like, when I first started watching it, I'm like, this is very different. And so I was just like, I don't really understand how I'm supposed to be watching it kind of thing because it was just a lot going on. I went to all the shows. I was there, so mm-hmm. I watched the shows happen in real time. So when I watched the edit, I'm like, this is very, like, interesting. And then about 15 minutes after, I'm like, I'm all in. And I've already seen all the shows again. And then towards, like, the last 15 minutes of it, I was just like, this is phenomenal. Like, this is just a phenomenal piece of special or whatever. Because, I mean, I've watched a lot of... I would say comedy specials, but this isn't a comedy special, really.
Right. It's definitely not a straight-ahead comedy special.
It's just really unique. It's almost like something I've never really seen, and the way it's put together, the format of it is really unique, and I mean, I've never seen
it. It could be so unique, though, that it doesn't make sense to people, too, which is what...
I thought that, too, and that was my first 15 minutes of, like, oh, I wonder if this is going to make sense. But after that, I'm like, this makes perfect sense. I know why it was put the way it was.
I went to Hamilton when I was, I don't know, 4 years ago or so. Nobody told me it was all rapping. The first 15 minutes, I'm like, when are they going to stop rapping and just catch me up on the story?
Yeah.
I wish I would have known it was not. Then once I got it, I was like, oh, this is freaking awesome.
Exactly.
But the first 15 minutes, I'm like, bro, I don't even know what's happening because you're just rapping. Like, when are you going to stop and break it down? And they never did.
That was my thought, dude. It's like when I watched Pure Country, the George Strait movie. I'm like, what is this? Is going to be a show? And then Dusty leaves. He leaves the tour and you're like, what? This is a crazy story.
I haven't seen that in so long. I don't even know the reference.
George Strait.
I know the movie. I've seen the movie.
He's Dusty, man. He's like artist.
But what's the show?
So it starts off with like Dusty like singing a song. When I hear twin fiddles in it, and then it goes on another song, and then they play three songs in a row. I'm like, what am I watching?
Oh, you thought it was like a concert, like a live.
Yeah, but it's not George Strait. It's Dusty. Mm-hmm. And then Dusty gets tired of the smoke, the lights, man. It ain't him.
Does Dusty and Matthew McConaughey have the same? Yeah,
pretty much. And then Dusty leaves, and you're like, what's happening? Then it turns into a real movie, and you're like, wow, this is really good. Same kind of. Feel I had watching this special.
Where you're just kind of confused at first?
I was just like, this is
what's confusing?
Different.
I speak Mandarin.
Oh, well, that would
it's almost like the order. It's like when you watch, I remember watching a Van Halen concert and it would go from like David Lee Roth to Sammy Hagar and they'd be wearing different shirts. And I'm like, I don't understand. I thought I was watching one night and I'm not watching one night. That's what's really cool about this.
But we are very obvious with where we are. Like it's like, boom, Tampa. Boom, Nashville. Boom, Virginia Beach. So even that, I was like, I don't want to try. I'm not good enough to try to do two shows and edit it all together and be wearing the same clothes. So yeah. Let's just be very honest about what we're doing. We're traveling around the country. But.
Yeah, dude, I loved it, man. Nice work. And it's taken a bit for you guys, I guess, to get it all together.
Mostly because it's none of our full-time jobs.
Yeah. Okay.
So it was taking it all in. Do you have any time this weekend? But, you know, Blythe is. Done an awesome job. Yeah, I don't know. We have to do sound editing because sound's not edited at all properly. But then I think we'll be ready to go because we haven't even shopped it. I haven't even showed it my agent or anything.
Oh. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, nobody's seen it except our very small group. And then we're just putting in labor at this point to try to make it right. We don't know how good it is.
Did your wife like it?
She's not seen it.
Oh, wow. I wonder what she thinks about it. What she will think about it. Because again, we lived
but
it.
But she's seen it every, I know. That's what I'm saying, why we lived hard. It. I know.
But
I know.
But again, like that's kind of why I was just like, oh, I don't know if I can sit through all this. Like we did this every
same.
Weekend.
Same.
But I did sit through it and I loved it. Oh, so there you go.
So I don't really know, but we're getting to the point now where it's that time. I'll send it to my agent probably this week.
Well, I'm sure, yeah. And
but it's not fully, we just have to do the sound editing and we'll be good.
They'll give you.
Nah, sometimes they lie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. They would lie and they're, yes, they're right, but they're always like trying to coddle you a bit regardless. So we'll see. But people are asking what's up with it. That's what's up with it.
Okay.
We're getting closer.
So will anybody else
the last
here
show was
in
like
this
December.
Room get to see it? like just.
What do you mean
I,
by
think
any,
Amy, I think Amy
else?
Wants it.
No, but we could do a show screening.
But, oh, like a Bobby Bones no way, show no cinema.
And now there's already an expectation to it. So I wouldn't, you'd have to say something even if you didn't. Because I would be judging every little period or exclamation point or lack of. There's one point in the show where they, in Tampa, they got me a cake that said sold out show. This is how neurotic I am. They got me a cake that said sold out. It says, congratulations. We sold out a couple nights there. It was after the first show on Comedic Unprofessional sold out. And I was so, it's just where my head immediately goes. Like, why is there not an exclamation point on there?
On the cake?
Yeah.
Why?
Like it was a big deal. Except It was like, congratulations on sold out show. I was like, why? And I say that immediately. I'm like,
you do.
I was like, this is awesome, but why is there not an exclamation point on there? That's how neurotic and like absolutely.
You're not that way with punctuation on texts.
I don't give a crap. But if it needs it.
I didn't know we needed that
punctuation.
Sort of stuff on a
but it was
cake.
A declaration on a cake.
Right.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
But like
sold
you don't put
show.
Happy birthday exclamation point
well,
on a cake.
Because you got a birthday happening regardless. You didn't do anything to get that birthday except stay alive.
Oh. Wow,
they were like, surprise. And I was grateful, and I am grateful. I'm like, wow. I was like, oh, man, where's the exclamation point? Like, I just felt minimized, not by them. I just felt like, oh, man, maybe this wasn't as good as I thought it was.
Mm.
Because there wasn't a, how crazy am I? Because there wasn't an exclamation point on the cake. But that's how neurotic I am.
Pretty crazy.
Unhealthily. I'm not saying that, like, ha-ha, look at me.
Well, maybe,
I don't like that about me.
Maybe I'm crazy because I don't think it's a big deal.
Trust me, you're with everybody else.
Okay.
Including myself when I watch it back. And
but
I'm
it's
like,
sort of like, which
I watched it back and I was
normal.
Like, that's what I said?
That's why you don't remember saying it.
All right. All right, we're done. Ray, how long we go? 50?
48.
Wow. Let's go 2 more minutes.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you got?
Let's get that 50.
What do you got? Any 47-minuters out there? Let me know if you're a 47-minuter. What do you got?
What does that mean?
Don't worry about it. You must not be one.
Oh. Is that what you're talking about?
What?
Okay.
7 minutes?
47 minutes. What are you talking about?
I don't know. What are you talking
about?
No.
Wait, Amy, what are
well,
you
no.
talking
what are you
about?
Talking
no, I'm not
about? Why is yours always sex stuff?
I did
like,
not.
47-minute I did a podcast
you set me
once
up.
By, no, I didn't. I did a podcast by myself once, and I said, I bet you nobody's listening to this is during Christmas break, 47 minutes in. And I said, if you are, you're a 47-minuter. Oh, okay. And I would get all these messages going, 47-minuter. And so if you're listening 47 minutes in, and Amy's like, 47-minute, I can do it that long. And I'm like, wait,
no,
what?
No, I didn't
Amy, you
say
said,
that.
You
I didn't
said that?
Say that.
No, that's what she said right there, basically.
No. I didn't say I could. I just said, okay.
Nobody can do it that
you
long.
Well, what? Whatever.
Nah, I don't know. This
bull crap.
Is, stop.
Maybe lunchbox.
Never mind.
All right, we're done.
How you doing, July 25th?
Ray, we at 50?
No, don't even that.
Yep.
You said June.
I didn't mean to.
No, you
did.
Still mad. That's why he's
I know,
mad.
But I
you said it like
you,
3 times.
Do you know any of their birthdays? When's Amy's birthday?
I promise you I know it's July. I promise.
He doesn't know anyone.
When's Amy's birthday?
I don't know why I said
it. I don't pretend to know.
What month?
April, no, March, because Eddie's March, Amy's
Boom.
March, then it goes Bobby.
Yes.
Boom.
What are our days?
I don't know. I don't
Morgan,
care.
Morgan, do you know Amy's birthday day?
No, I think it's in May.
No, it's, we did, well, she was we working did, on the
I, sorry.
I know your birthdays now because it's so close to mine. Amy's the 18th.
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
Come on. No, don't look down.
No,
don't look
down.
Where?
Because I will say I had to look up Amy's. Just I knew it was
That's
March,
okay.
but I didn't know the day, so I looked it up. Thanks, Scuba,
but
for sending
but
this.
Hold on.
Birthdays
Eddie's
are
is,
hard.
Eddie's is after Amy's,
uh-huh.
I know, because it's closer to mine, and I know it's within a week of hers.
So you're 18, Amy? Yep.
You're either 20, 21, or 22. March.
Oh, okay. Well, you know.
I'm putting
that.
My money on
21.
20.
Oh, if it's 20, I don't know it. I'm wrong then.
No, it's definitely 21.
I would have thought 21.
Why?
Because it's number 21 on roulette. Roulette.
Man, that's my roulette number.
Okay. Is it 21?
It's 21. Cool. First day of spring.
Nobody cares.
That's when you're also like, I'm a Pisces, are you?
I'm an Aries.
See, that's when it changes.
That
too.
Day.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
They call it the cusp.
It's actually not that cool.
So you're an Aries too.
I'm an Aries, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we're done.
We made the 50?
Made the 50.
Let's go.
Next week, let me just, a couple housekeeping things. Next week, the dyslexia doctor's coming in to test us.
Good, 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 good.
Oh, yeah, March 4th or something?
She's coming after the show because it's going to take a while and we'll edit down the actual part where we were taking the test because you have to like be quiet and shut up and take the test.
This will explain so much, man.
But what if you're not?
Well, then I just got work to do. I got to study or something and just be a normal person.
I hear you.
Because I think I've just lived with that handicap. So now I'm like, oh, I am what I am.
I don't know that dyslexia is considered a handicap, is it?
For sure. I can't, like, well, mine's not dyslexia. Mine's the...
Synesthesia?
The number one?
Yours is... dumb.
Euthanasia?
No.
Dyscalculia.
That's a plant.
No, it's when they kill people because they want to be put down.
Oh, that's euthanized.
Yeah.
I thought you said echinacea.
No, that would be a plant. All right, we're done. Thank you guys. Have a great day. Bye. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when this thought hits you. Okay, I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, the whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.